Our guest, UU Minister Reverend Susan Manker Seal, will now provide a sermon on Religion Beyond the God Wars. Susan's father was also instrumental in establishing the Venable Pines. Susan was the minister of the UU Congregation of Northwest Tucson for 14 years. She's a member of our Pacific Southwest District. Reverend Susan Manker Seal.
For many, many years, I've thought of myself as a schizophrenic atheist. Someone once told me that I shouldn't use that word, schizophrenic, because it appeared to put down people with that condition. But schizophrenic is a term that has commonly come to be used to refer to a split mind, which is its root in modern Greek, schizein meaning split and phren meaning mind, because I am of two minds about God. I'm almost always an atheist when it comes to certain definitions of God, and yet I live as if God were a given within me and around me. I don't pray, hardly ever, but then life is a prayer every time I stop to pay attention and feel the wonder of life and am in awe. It's common in our Western world to define religion based on a definition of God or a belief in God. And a belief in God is seen as necessary to being a good person. In our own country, in 2006, the University of Minnesota did a study which revealed that atheists are the least trusted, least tolerated group of people. Can you believe that? In our day and age, to not believe is one of the most terrible things we can do. Religious intolerance hasn't changed all that much, I guess, since Robert Ingersoll's day, when he said, and this said was 1900, "Nothing is so pleasing to these gods as the butchery of unbelievers. Nothing so enrages them, even now, as to have someone deny their existence." When I was about 17, I had a mystical experience. It was not like you did. Was your name John? Jonathan? Yeah, there you are. It was different, but it was pretty amazing to me, considering that I was an atheist. It was an experience of infinity and eternity and oneness. And I thought a lot about God and not God after that. And I came to realize that if there were a God, that God could not in any way care less if I believed in it or not. I, one of what, 8 billion or 7 or 8 billion people on earth, could not be so important to God, a God, as to have that God smite me down for not believing in it. How arrogant would such a God be? And how unloving. I truly believed in my heart that if there is a God, that God had to be love, beyond love, beyond jealousy, beyond all of our petty human concerns. I also knew that belief just is. Belief isn't forced. It comes from the depths of our being, of our hearts, and if God wants to be there, God is. Or rather, if we want to call that sacred depth of our being God, then fine. If not, fine too. As you know, so many atrocities have been committed in the name of God, or the gods, that many people cannot abide the word or the concept. So many definitions abound for God that finding one's way among them is barely possible. Sometimes I just want to throw God out of the picture altogether. Things would be a lot simpler. Maybe. A couple of years ago, a woman in my congregation told me a story. She was in Barnes & Noble looking for books, some of which were far right and very Christian, and others of which were far left and very liberal. And the guy at the information counter commented on her disparate choices. And in the context of their conversation, he told her that in the past years, Christian books were flying off the bookshelves. But suddenly, atheism was the primary subject people wanted. Have you used been swarming Barnes & Noble? I wonder. People ask me what our UU congregations believe. And I've always said that maybe half are atheists and half believe in some sort of God. Last year I did an informal survey of my congregation in Tucson and discovered that we were actually 20%, only 20% atheists, and only 20% believing in God. The rest of that 60% was floating in between, depending on the day and the definition. When asked what their theological orientation was, only 14 people out of about 100 wrote atheists as part of their label, their self-labeling, and 18 marked agnostic. There are a lot of atheists out there, out here. And believe me, we're very good people. I'm wondering about the surge in interest in books about atheism and whether the new political climate is lifting the oppression that we've all been under these past several decades. Decades when the radical religious right held sway over our politicians and our presidents. Can the days of shock jocks and bigots like Rush Limbaugh be coming to an end? If there is a breath of fresh air, if we are coming around from the oppression still suffered during the McCarthy years and the John Birch Society, perhaps atheism can have a chance to really be heard, to really share with the rest of the world a path that is fine and good and right as any. And we have the right to choose it. Or maybe it isn't even a choice, but a recognition that this is now how we believe. I went to a conference several years ago put on by the Theosophical Society on mystical Christianity. The Theosophical Society is an open organization that explores different beliefs and ways. And I picked up some books there which caught my eye, and one of them is called Beyond Religion, Eight Alternative Paths to the Sacred by David Elkins. The subtitle is A Personal Program for Building a Spiritual Life Outside the Walls of Traditional Religion. When I see things like that, it breaks my heart. I wonder why people springboard to the extreme, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because, of course, I know that this traditional religion of Unitarian Universalism doesn't preclude a spiritual life. There's a quote by an anonymous graduate student in the front of that book. It says, "I am deeply interested in spirituality, in being a spiritual person, but I have no interest in religion at all. I guess you could say that I'm spiritual, but not religious." I've been trying to convince people that if you are spiritual, you are religious, when they've said that to me, almost verbatim, at the door to my sanctuary. I guess I've been wrong, because religious is commonly defined in person-to-person engagement as meaning a follower of one of the religions, whereas spiritual seems to be referring to the animating force in human beings and life and nature. People use it this way when they tell me that they are fed by nature, not church. I'm fed by nature and church. I think as far as writers like Elkin are concerned, the implied effort may be to pry spirituality out of the hands of religious traditions, religious organizations, religious communities, and religious leaders. Elkin says that a spiritual revolution is quietly taking place in our society. Well, I wouldn't say it was that quiet. But he goes on to say that millions of Americans have left traditional religion to pursue alternative paths to spiritual development. They are realizing that they can be spiritual without being religious, and that they can nurture their souls without going to church or temple. That's very true. And then he says that this separation of spirituality from religion is one of the major sociological changes of our time, and is at the heart of one of the major greatest spiritual revolutions in the West since the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation was 500 years ago. I wonder if this is why we've had such a swing in the pendulum over the past few decades toward, and other people, not us, toward the radical religious right and its fear-mongering against liberals. It's like a rift in our society to witness people leaving their religious communities and finding spiritual sustenance and social action in other arenas. This disaffection with dogmas and warring definitions of God have led many to just up and leave the ways of life that have guided human beings for millennia. And I wonder what a religion beyond the God wars might really look like. For Elkins, it is a state of no religion. He writes, "The first step towards spiritual maturity breaks the container of our own tradition and opens us up to other religions. The second step breaks the container of religion itself and opens us up to life. When we take the second step, we see that all of life is sacred and that the entire universe is a garden from which we can nurture our souls." I think Unitarian Universalism's container was made of flexible fabric, a kind that formed in only certain areas of the world and the soul. Somehow it didn't shatter, but expanded and expanded again so that it could continue to be a haven for those who wanted to explore a larger view of God, even of no God, and know that all life is sacred and the entire universe is a garden. Emerson spoke often of the power of nature and spirituality. He was probably our greatest Unitarian minister. Houston Smith is a theologian who attended the Berkeley Unitarian Church when I was in seminary. He was inspired to write a book on why religion matters: the fate of the human spirit in an age of disbelief. He too seemed to equate religion with belief in something. He writes that, uncontaminated, religion is a noble word, deriving as it does from religio, to rebind. The word targets what religion is essentially about, but it has lost some of its respectability. Mention the word in public, and its sins are what jump first to mind. Enter the word, spirituality to name, without specification, what is good about religion. We are struggling with the role of religion in society today. It's far-reaching and affecting many faith traditions. When I went to England to the British Unitarian Ministers' Retreat a few years ago, my colleagues told stories about how hard it is to be religious in an increasingly secular country. People there just didn't have the desire to go to church or understand the value of religious community. It got me thinking about what aspects of Unitarian Universalism will continue to be attractive to people in the future, if any. Are we flexible enough to grow with an expanding view of God, spirituality, and the affirmation of atheism as a right path among many? I found a quote in Elkin's book by Thomas Berry. Future and past cannot live off the present forms of religious experience, for these are too shallow. The future can live only from the most primordial communion with the sacred. My father used to preach that beneath each of our religious structures is a common ground. And when we dove deep enough, we would find that commonality to connect us, to bind us, religio, religion. Some call that God, some call it spirit, and some call it the sacred, and some call it life. Carl Sagan wrote, and he attended a Unitarian church too, a religion, old or new, that stressed the magnificence of the universe, as revealed by modern science, might be able to draw forth reserves of reverence and awe hardly tapped by the conventional faiths. Sooner or later, such a religion will emerge. That's from Jennifer Lee Selig's book, Thinking Outside the Church, 101 Ways to Connect with Your Spiritual Nature. Selig doesn't advocate leaving religion altogether, but she's compiled a wonderful book of quotes and reflections on spirituality for those who want to think outside the box or how people perceive the box. I hope that we aren't a box. But maybe every religious tradition is a box. Maybe that's the nature of a tradition, to shape our world with ritual and habits of behavior and thought, like joys and sorrows, like choirs, like particular ways of talking about life and death and religion. We aspire to be open, to affirm and promote the spiritual growth in one another, to accept one another. That's one of our 7 UU purposes and principles. But how well do we do that? How well do we create an atmosphere where beliefs are respected and grappled with in an honest fashion? Whether you are an atheist or a theist, you are welcome in our congregations. And if you're schizophrenic about it, you're encouraged to be that as well. The universe is far too amazing a place to argue over what we cannot know. And it's horrifying to remember that there are those who are willing to go to war over definitions of God and applying claims of evil to the non-believers. Within these sacred walls, in this Unitarian Universalist religion, your spiritual growth will be respected and nurtured if we so desire and make it happen. For it is as William Blake said, "To see the world in a grain of sand, and heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour." So may we aspire to be, not just to define, to experience, not just to confine.